this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in. Happy Monday. I hope you had a glorious Easter. It was a beautiful day. So many families got together, celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, today our original plan was to talk with Tim Cicerich, a Focus on the Family. They've got the new documentary coming out called Irreplaceable, and it's amazing, and it really talks about the value of family. Having a couple technical issues, so we're going to actually record that interview tomorrow and air it at a date in the near future. So instead, what you're going to hear today is a re-air of my interview with Stormy O'Mardian. And, you know, she is just the prayer warrior woman. And so the title of this book is Prayer Warrior, The Power of Praying Your Way to Victory. And she says, as prayer warriors, we must remember that no matter how hopeless the situation may appear to us, God gives us power in prayer to do something about it. We may be overwhelmed by it, but God is not. We may not see a way out, but God can. And because of him, we can make a difference. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. And when we had Stormy on last time, she just, you'll hear the passion in her voice and the knowledge and the years of experience and even just the raw authenticity of a woman who's been through the highs and the lows of life. And so you're going to hear this interview from Stormy. I'm also going to post a question on my Facebook page about what does it mean to be a prayer warrior? What does it mean to be a prayer warrior? I'd love to know. Maybe you know someone that you love and admire. Well, here's the Facebook address and answer that question for me. Facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Here's the question again. What does it mean to be a prayer warrior? Okay, so here's my question. Do you know someone who you consider a prayer warrior? What about them stands out to you? Well, I asked that on Facebook, and there are some amazing, amazing comments there. Persistence, prayer, passion, a willingness to be hidden, a feistiness in faith. What do you say when you think of a prayer warrior? Do you have a friend or a relative as a prayer warrior? What about them stands out to you? Just be thinking about that as we talk today. My guest is Stormy O'Mardian, and she's, you know, known for her books on prayer. Her recent book is titled Prayer Warrior, The Power of Praying Your Way to Victory. So let's get this conversation started. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Stormy O'Mardian is a best-selling author and speaker. She's been featured on national media such as the 700 Club and the Christian Television Network. Her books include The Power of Praying Through the Bible, The Power of a Praying Wife, and The Power of a Praying Husband. She and her husband, Michael, have been married for more than 39 years and have two adult children. And her website is linked up on our website, which is myfaithradio.com. Stormy, welcome back to the program. So glad to have you with us today.
Oh, Susie, thank you. It's good to be with you, too.
Well, we are kindred spirits because we both love to pray. So
yes.
I'm excited to talk with you about this.
Me, too.
So we love to start out our conversations talking scripture, and I know you love the Word of God. Is there either a life verse or a verse that the Lord's been speaking to you about these days that you can talk to us about?
Well, my life verse, I would say, or the one that just is so close to my heart, is that all things work together to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And, you know, and the verses just before that are talking about prayer. And so when you put all those verses together with that one, it seems to me that it's saying that when you're praying, all things work together for good. Because some things don't work for good. You know, God can bring good out of anything, but some bad things happen, you know. And I'm feeling that if we are praying, that is one of the reasons why all things work together for good, is because we have been engaged with the Lord before something happened. And we have a walk with him, and we've established a relationship with him, and we've learned to pray, which means communicating with him and speaking to him and hearing him speak to us. And that is really one of the reasons why all things are working together for good.
Because we are engaged with him, walking with him, listening to
yes.
him, doing what he says. Absolutely. Yes. And so it is really possible to miss God's best will and his destiny for you if you're ignoring what he says and not doing what he says, right?
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. It's so important. That's why my last book was called Lead Me, Holy Spirit. It was about listening to the voice of God, being able to identify God speaking to your heart and prompting you and trying to communicate with you to lead you in a certain direction. And when we miss that, we miss what God has for us. And so it's so important to not only pray, to speak to him and communicate what our our the desires of our heart are, but also to listen to him speaking to us. It's so important.
I think so many interpret that Romans 8:28 passage as to say all things work together, like it really doesn't matter which choice I make because I'll end up where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I think he can take all of our mistakes and our sins and redeem them, but he does have a highest and best will for us, and some must miss it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think you're the only person I've heard make that distinction before, and I think it's an important one. And,
I do too. I really do too. And people get kind of mad at God if they things don't work out, or you know, or it doesn't seem like it's working out for good, or whatever. You know, I think they don't know Him well enough. They're not with Him enough to understand that things happen. Definitely, you know. But when you're walking with Him and living His way and you know, communicating with Him in prayer and in worship and reading His Word, so your faith is built up. That when things happen, you don't have to be afraid. You can trust that God, you know, you're in God's hands, and if something does happen, He is going to bring good out of it. But we still have to pray. Like you said, we don't just leave our lives to chance and then just think it's all going to work out and then be mad at God if it doesn't.
Right. Well, you're known for your prayer books, and this new book, Prayer Warrior, I would love to know the inspiration behind this particular aspect of prayer, of warring in prayer and becoming a spiritual warrior.
Well, there's a spiritual war going on, and we're all in it. And a lot of people don't realize that, or they're just ignoring it. And I see, what I have been seeing is far too many believers just being knocked around by the enemy of their soul because they're not actively engaged in the war, even though they're on the receiving end of the consequences of this war, you know. So they get attacked and become wounded and incapacitated because they're unprepared to face enemy opposition. And also they're uninformed about how to do battle. And battle, when you're a prayer warrior, the battle is your prayer. That prayer is the battle. And so people need to understand that. It's not like a scary thing. You know, you're on God's side. This is God's enemy as well as your enemy. You know, God's enemy first. And so when you understand that, it really makes a difference because, you know, we get attacked in our marriages, our kids, our health, you know, all kinds of things. You know, our bodies, our mind, just, you know, but God has given us a way to take dominion over the forces of evil.
Indeed.
And the works of darkness, and that is to engage in the war and do battle in prayer as He leads us.
I remember as a young mom, three little boys, I was battling a disease, Lyme disease, in my 20s. Our finances were upside down because of medical debt. It was a terrible, terrible time. And so I had legitimate reason for fear and worry. We were on the verge of possibly losing our house. We didn't. But so here I'm in my 20s thinking I'm probably not going to live, or at least I'm going to live on the sidelines. I've got these three kids and this debt. And so anxiety was my closest companion. But I remember the day the Lord whispered to my spirit and said, I've given you authority over all the power, but you have to take authority over all the power of the enemy, Luke 10:19.
That's right.
And so I stomped my foot, raised my hand and said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this anxiety. And peace came. I mean, to tell you, I learned something about standing up and using my shield. And so just because He's given us authority doesn't mean we walk around without having to engage our faith to lay hold of it, right?
Yes, exactly. That is exactly right. I mean, you are so right on with every single thing you said, and to recognize that we have to take authority. We can't just, you know, that we can't just be wishy-washy and saying, "Oh, it'll all work out," and you know, who cares? It's we take authority, and that's what God has given us. He's called us to do that, you know, and we claim His word. You know, we claim that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That's what God's word says, and that's what we believe. And that we're not accepting anything less.
Amen. You know? Amen. Well, you know, some might say I'm a spiritual pacifist. In other words, you know, if I don't acknowledge Him, He won't engage in battle with me. But you say you don't have to be at war with someone for Him to be at war with you.
Exactly.
Say
right.
More about that.
Yeah, because people do feel exactly what you said. I don't like war. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go to battle. I don't, you know, I don't like violence. And none of us do, you know. But the enemy will bring the war to us if we don't take the war to Him, you know. And what I'm saying is taking the war to Him means praying about every issue, praying that the enemy has no inroad, that any strongholds he's trying to erect in any of our lives or our children's life will be demolished, that nothing he can do, no weapon formed against us in any way can prosper. You know, so it really helps to know that you're in the war, whether you want to be or not. You can't just hide.
You tell a story in the beginning, because you've lived in California for quite a number of years, and you talked about the earthquakes and kind of saw a parallel with some of the battle that we're in. Make that connection for us.
Yeah, so the earthquakes are terrible. You know, I lived there for so many years, and I was in really some really terrible earthquakes, you know. And they happen without warning, and you don't know how long they're going to last, and you're afraid. You don't know how bad they're going to be. And they're so violent that sometimes you can't move. You can't get to a doorway where you're supposed to be or whatever. And it's a dreaded thing, you know, how these things can happen in the middle of the night. And if you're not in a place that's on a good foundation and has been reinforced, you know, out there, now a lot of the new buildings are. But back then when I was living there, not all of them were. And I knew the places I was living weren't. You know, they were old. And I didn't have a place of peace that could be found in the Lord in terrifying circumstances, because I didn't know the Lord at these times when these earthquakes were going on. And I was frightened out of my mind with these, you know. But over the years, I realized that our spiritual life is like my circumstances were at the time of these earthquakes. If you haven't built on a solid foundation and according to, you know, these great building codes, then you're unable to stand secure, you know, and unharmed in the shaking and upheaval. And so when you have upheaval in your life, in your health, your marriage, your children, your work, or whatever, you know, you have to seek the right foundation. And there's no other foundation can anyone lay that is laid in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, having your foundation built on the Word of God. The solid rock is Jesus. The solid rock is also the Word of God. Jesus and His Word are inseparable.
Yeah.
You know, He's the living Word. And so building on that solid foundation, when things come suddenly, you're not thrown.
Indeed.
You know, and you're not destroyed.
Well, I'm talking to Stormy O'Mardian today. She's got a brand new book out titled Prayer Warrior, The Power of Praying Your Way to Victory. We've got two copies to give away today. If you've got a question for Stormy, why don't you give us a call? Otherwise, my question for you is, if you know a prayer warrior in your life, what about them stands out to you? If you know a prayer warrior, tell me what about them stands out to you. Otherwise, feel free to ask Stormy a question, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 2484. You know, Stormy, when you were talking about the earthquakes in the beginning of the book, and you had one line in there, I didn't know this about your childhood. Just one little simple line where you talked about the fear that you had in the earthquake was similar to as a child, you were raised by, correct me if I'm wrong, but a mother who was mentally ill who would lock you in a closet and you lived like out in the country.
Right.
Is that right? Oh my goodness.
Yes. Right. Oh, she was very abusive, but that was the thing I think that affected me the most. She was physically and verbally abusive, absolutely, but it affected me most being locked in that closet because it's in the dark. You're there in the dark, but at least in the closet, comparing it with the earthquake, at least I knew I was going to get out someday or sometime. You know, I'd get out.
I'm so sorry.
But with the earthquake, I didn't know if I was going to get out alive.
Right.
You know, and so in that way, it was much worse, you know, because I didn't know the Lord, and I didn't have anybody to pray to.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have that. And so when you're alone, and I'm telling you, when an earthquake happens at night, you're in the dark. Talk about pitch black. It is dark. Everything's shaking around you. You can't even walk. You can't see. You can't get to a phone. I mean, it's scary as can be. As scary
and
as
I'm
gets.
Thinking even some Christians right now feel like what you've just described is how they feel, that they're in a place of obscurity or a place of shaking, and they can't get their bearings. And this is why we're talking about this today. One more question just about your personal story before we dig into more of the content. When did you become a prayer warrior? I mean, when did the power, would you pick up your weapon and you start to pray and realize, I'm not going to be just a Christian who occasionally prays. I'm going to be someone for whom this is a reality for every day. How did that happen for you?
Well, when I received the Lord, I was planning my suicide. I was, you know, I just couldn't live anymore because I had this horrible pain all the time, emotional pain all the time. And I tried everything to get rid of it, and it was only making matters worse, everything I tried, you know, the drugs and the alcohol and the occult practices and Eastern religions, just everything, and nothing worked. You know, just temporary relief, and then it was worse, you know. So when I received the Lord, someone led me to the Lord from someone who I worked with, and took me to meet her pastor. Anyway, after I received the Lord, I began to feel hope. I began to see light at the end of the long, dark tunnel of my life. But I still had these horrible depressions. I mean, just terrible, where it would just put me in bed, really, so I could hardly function for 2 weeks at a time. You know, I'd just be full of anxiety and fear and depression. And so I had met my husband at church, and we had married. And he said, why don't you – I thought when I got married that that would all go. You know, I thought, well, I won't be alone, you know, and all that depression and everything will go, and it didn't. But he said, why don't you go to the church's office? Because they had some pastor's wives there who were great Christian counselors. They really knew the Word of God. They knew what God wanted to do in our lives and how he wanted to liberate us. That's why Jesus came, was to set us free from anything that the enemy wanted to do in our lives. And so I went there and met with one named Marianne, and she had me fast and pray for 3 days. I told her everything about my life, my abusive mother, all the horrible things I'd done, everything. You know, trying to look for a way out of all the pain. And so she had me fast and pray for 3 days. And when I went back to the office after that, she had me confess all the sins. She had me write down all the sins that came to my mind that are still plaguing me that I'd done. Or I wrote those down. And then she had me confess those just all at once. You know, she didn't want to read them. And then she had me confess my unforgiveness toward my mother for all the damage she had done. And I had to renounce all of my occult practices. And when I did those three things, she and another pastor's wife prayed for me, and I felt all that depression and anxiety and fear and, you know, the negative emotion lift.
Wow.
I felt it lift. I felt a physical manifestation of just the lifting of that. And that moment was what was so eye-opening that I was never the same after that. With regard to prayer or with regard to anything, that I knew, I saw with my own eyes the power of prayer, and I had no idea that that was possible.
Yeah.
I wasn't even expecting that. I was expecting to find a little relief, and I thought, wow, that's okay. I'll just come back to the office every time I'm feeling bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was gone. It was really gone.
And, well, we do have a very real battle going on, and I think this is what the importance, and you even talk about not even, you know, not obsessing or focusing on the works of the enemy, but on the goodness of God. And I want you to unpack that statement as well. Just,
yes.
I'm talking to Stormy O'Mardian today, and we're welcoming your calls if you've got a question regarding what it means to be a prayer warrior. Otherwise, my question for you is, what's the standout trait that you see in someone maybe you know that's a prayer warrior? We've got two copies of Stormy's book, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We've got Mike on the line calling in from St. Paul, Minnesota. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. My question is this. I just became recently, me and my wife, a prayer warrior. You have to be in the Word, you have to be in prayer, and you have to fast. Because in the Bible, the disciples were trying to cast out some demons, and they said, these are ones that you can't just cast out. You have to be, Jesus says, fasting, and you're going to be attacked. As a Christian, the victory is already there. We have to live like we're victorious. And a lot of Christians don't do that because they don't think, I don't know if they don't think they can or what, but as a prayer warrior, you better live victorious and be in the Word.
Yep.
Oh, you're
enforcing
so right.
that victory. What do you say, Stormy? Thanks,
Mike.
You're
so right. I am right in the middle of a 5-day fast now. I'm on day 4, and I can't begin to do what I do without fasting and prayer. There's certain things that will not happen in your life unless you fast and pray about them. There's certain things that God wants to do, just like there's certain things that will not happen in our lives if we don't worship the Lord. Certain things happen as we are worshiping God, and he will pour himself into us, you know, like a funnel. And that's the same thing with the prayer and fasting. He's so right. As a prayer warrior, you have to have some times of fasting, and it's different for everyone. I'm not, you know, in any way saying how you should do it or how many days or what. God will tell you. Ask him, God, do I need to fast and pray about this, or are you calling me to a time of fasting, or what is your church doing? You know, are they fasting? We're fasting and praying as a church. For 5 days. But even when I'm not fasting with the church, I will take times of fasting too on my own, especially before any book I'm doing or during any book I'm doing. Anything I'm doing for the Lord, you can expect the enemy is going to try to attack you. And so you want to really, you know, be girded up, which happens in when you fast. You separate yourself just to the Lord. You separate yourself from everything else, and the thing you love most, which is food, or whatever you're fasting from. A lot of people fast from television, or just different things. My pregnant daughter-in-law is she can't go on a fast like this, but she's fasting from any sweets and fasting from all television and just things like that. She's fasting wherever she can, and it's powerful. Whatever you deny yourself, so that God can be glorified and so strongholds can be broken, God honors that.
Indeed. Before speaking events, I do that all the time where I have food issues as well, so I have to be careful about the food fast, but I cut out media, TV, different things, so I can zero in and focus. And it's amazing.
Yep. Isn't it?
Yeah, the clarity.
Mm. Yes, exactly, the clarity. And I do the same thing, Susie, because I think you have to. I think there's nothing scarier than getting up to speak to a group of people if you don't have the mind of God and the power of God and the anointing of the Lord on you. I mean, how scary is that?
That's right.
We're trying to make that happen on our own. Forget that. We need everything God has in order to have Him speak through us what He wants people to hear.
That's right. I also have 65 intercessors who get a weekly email from me. Praise God. I don't know what I would do without them.
Oh,
I'm very honest with them about my fears and insecurities, and they stand in the gap. And we need each other in this prayer journey. I'm talking to Stormy O'Mardian today. Her book is Prayer Warrior. Welcoming your questions, calls 877-933-2484. We've got Yvonne calling from, I believe, Lake Park. Yvonne, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I do a lot of... I just need some more help maybe in the prayers. Is there certain words that you can use for unsaved people that I can't change? Or I have a friend that rejected her daughter and husband, and their full-term baby just died.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wake up, and I'm maybe partway dreaming of how I can talk to her, but the mother, because the mother has rejected.
So you're asking, Yvonne, words you can use to pray effectively? Is that what your question is?
Yes, because my words are probably the same ones over and over. And
what do you say, Stormy?
Well, you've got the heart of a prayer warrior, because that's what's waking you up. I mean, that your heart of compassion for these people who are suffering. And so you are a prayer warrior. And when you get to something like that and you just have a loss for words, just... Ask the Lord to pray through you. You have His Spirit in you. He gives you His Spirit when you receive Jesus. That's one of the things Jesus does for us, is share Himself with us. And ask the Holy Spirit in you to give you words to say, to teach you how to pray, show you how to pray. Because sometimes these things are so huge that we don't know, and He wants us to depend on Him, because He wants to teach us. He wants to show us things and show us how to pray. And so He will. I mean, God will show you, and ask Him to, have you, if there's something you can do to say to the person to show you, and if not, if you're just keep silent, have Him show you that too. But just stay close to the Lord and ask Him to help you to pray.
Yeah.
He will.
And the reality is, we are in a spiritual war, whether we like it or not, and whether or not we engage really does determine, I feel like, not only how this life goes, but how we fare in the next, as far as, what we inherit eternally. How much are we willing to stand in the gap? And you say, how you respond to the enemy of your soul determines whether His plan for your life or God's plan for your life is realized. We just have a minute or so before our break, but what can you say to just expound on that a little bit?
Well, you have to know there's two sides in this war, God's side and the enemy's side, and we're on God's side. And that's one of the things we have to decide, whose side we're on, And in the war between God and His enemy, God wins, but we still have to fight the battle in order to see the victory happen. But when we recognize that our commander-in-chief is Jesus, and that the battle is waged in prayer, and that God's army is the only one where we can be deployed without actually having to go anywhere, it really takes the pressure off of us to know that we're obeying God, first of all, and waging this war in the battle. the thing is, we don't want to wait for the enemy to bring the battle to us.
Yeah.
We want to stay on top of it and just
take our stand. That's right.
Yeah. Proclaiming, God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper.
That's right. Talking to Stormy O'Marty today. And, Patty, we will get your call in just a moment. We're talking about what it means to be a prayer warrior. Up next, we'll talk about how to live a life that conditions you to stand in battle. Do not go away. Here's that number, 877-933-2484. More with Stormy O'Marty in just a moment. Love that song. He made a way for us. Have you thought about that today? What it means, what Jesus did to give you access to the inner court of the Most High God? We've been redeemed. He's made a way for us to enter the Holy of Holies. And so, of course, the enemy's ploy is to get us so busy we forget who we are and whose we are. And that's why we're talking to Stormy O'Marty today about what it means to be a prayer warrior. This is a battle. We don't need to be afraid, though, because overwhelming victory belongs to us. We just need to know how to take our stand, and we got to stop being pushed around by that enemy and bullied by our fears. Maybe you've got a question for Stormy today. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. Patty's calling in from North Dakota with a question for you, Stormy. Patty, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would like Stormy or you to kind of comment on what fasting means. I've been a Christian for over like 25 years and never really have fasted. And I think it's because the devil keeps saying, oh, you can't fast all day. And I know you were talking a little bit about it before of what you can be fasting from, but I think a lot of Christians think that they can't eat all day, and then if or for the 4 or 5 days that you're doing it, and you're going to only have to drink water or juice. And, so could you kind of elaborate on, what kind
Great
of fast
question.
You could do?
Great
oh, yeah.
question, Patty.
Because it's really a personal thing, between you and the Lord, because everybody has different, limitations in their body and in their schedule and, whatever. And so really asking the Lord, how do you want me to do this fast? How do you want me to, is it just going to be water only? Is it going to be for 1 day, 2 days, 2 meals, 3 days? What is it to be? And really let the Lord speak to your heart about it, because that's really important. Like I said, some people, they just can't do that, they can't do it. But I think whatever, there's Daniel fasts, where you just eat vegetables. There's other things. Maybe you could fast a meal and you pray through that meal. Instead of eating, you pray through that meal.
The beauty of that, is that there's freedom in that. I mean, I've heard spiritual leaders argue, is orange juice okay? Is coffee okay? And I'm thinking, now you're getting into legalism, because I don't think there's a biblical mandate for coffee versus orange juice. But, don't you think it's more, as you're saying, Lord, what's in my hand that you want so that I can lay hold of more of you?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've always been taught, and that's what I believe, and that's what I see in Scripture, too, as well as we hear from God, listen to God, and what he's saying to you. Because if you can't, there's times where you can only do a meal, and that is perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. There's power in that.
Yeah.
For example, for me, this time, just because of some things that I'm dealing with in my body, I am fasting, and this is was fine with the church too. That's what they're doing, allowing to. As I fast for 24 hours, then I eat a meal. I fast for another 24 hours, and I eat a meal. And it's not like I eat a meal that's 5,000 calories and hot fudge sundaes, and It's just a sensible protein and vegetable meal. But I that's the only way I could do this. I could not do 5 days and at this age right now, and the things I'm dealing with physically, I can't do it.
It wouldn't be wisdom. And if I could chime in too, Patty, I had to master the partial fast even as a young mom because of my health issues. But I even put my kids on partial fast. And just let me explain. If they had a toy that seemed like it got too important to them, I would tell them, I'd say, this is not punishment, but nothing should have power over you more than God, like this toy does. And so we're going to set it aside for a little while. They would freak out at first, but I'm telling you what, I could see over a few days, they would just settle in and we would reintroduce it. It just wouldn't have the hold on them. And my boys are grown now, but they, to this day, if something gets to be too important, they just lay it aside. And that's what I love is the freedom for it to be between you and God.
Yeah.
And he might say, that chocolate shake every Friday, why don't you just give that up for a month and let's see what happens. You know, whatever it is, right?
Right.
It's between
you
and God.
It can be as simple as that, exactly. And it's so important. All that counts. Whatever you give up for God to be glorified, where you can separate yourself from that thing, that's so important in you know, glorify God. In the process, it's really a powerful thing. And when you read Isaiah 58, 6 to 14, just read that. That's what will happen. That's what is accomplished in your fast. Really, it's so important. It says how strongholds are broken down and how healing comes to your body, how your light will shine. And that has to do with your influence and your, you know, influence as far as in the community or in your family or whatever. There's just so many things that are promised in that. That chapter of Isaiah 58, it's so powerful. You get a chance to read that.
And one thing I'm sure, Stormy, you can chime in if you want to correct or redirect in any way, but I feel like it's really important to identify the fast to begin with because I've learned when I've partially kind of gone into it, maybe I'll give this up or that there's room for that enemy to bring in discouragement and confusion. I would maybe fail and then my faith is weakened. And so I feel like it has to be very defined so that you can press through.
I totally agree. I think it's absolutely right. I define it. I know exactly if I'm going to do a 24-hour fast, you know, on my own. I identify it. I'm going to do a 24-hour fast. I'm going to just have water or whatever it is I'm going to do. You know what I mean? Or I'm just going to fast two meals this day or whatever. I lay out what I want this fast to be about, too, as well. I really want strongholds broken down for this fast for me. Personally, I want strongholds broken down around my mind. I want to have clarity of thought. I have to write a book that's due in just a short while, and I want to hear from God about it, as I do on every book. I want God to speak to me. I want to hear things from Him that I don't even know yet.
And He confides in those who fear Him, and so it's beautiful. Steve's on hold waiting to ask you a question. I want to make sure we give him some time. Steve, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Stormy.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I had a question for Stormy, or maybe she could address some of the distractions, some of the hindrances to prayer. Like I know distractions is a big area of prayer and busyness, and I notice technology, you know, with all the internet and television, the enemy using these different areas to really people that want to pray or know they should pray, but, you know, just the hindrances to prayer, if you can maybe address.
Oh, yes.
Great.
And also, I thought of the scripture on the fasting on Matthew 17:21. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So, certain type of spirits and problems only by prayer and fasting can we deal with that.
Wow.
Thank you for taking my call again.
Thank you, Steve. Great question, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve, you're so right in the middle of what is going on with the hindrances and the distractions, because we all have that. Every one of us deals with that, and some more than others, you know. And I really think we have to pray about it. We have to say, God, help me to focus on you, to focus on your word, to focus on prayer. Help me not to be distracted. I just lay this time before you, God, and ask that you would keep these distractions at a minimum or keep them at bay. I need time to be with you without being distracted. And just ask God to help you with that, because it is really, I think it's a ploy of the enemy to keep us from praying, really. I think because it's such a barrage of things, you know, that come to, and I fight it all the time, you know. And so I think just asking God to help us with that, and really, really does help.
Stormy, you give a list in the book about things to do and how to get in top condition spiritually, and I'm thinking of Steve's question. To me, the opposite of these would be hindrances to prayer, because one of them is live in a way that pleases God. Well, if we're living in a way opposite of what pleases God, that's going to hinder your prayers. Another one you say is refuse all pride. Get rid of anything in your life that's not glorifying to God. Maybe speak to just a few of those that I just read, and we'll cover a few more after.
Yes, I have. I don't know how many there are there. I think there might be 10 or 12 of those. One of them, conditioning yourself to be all you can be, is really important when you're wanting to become a prayer warrior. And that, the top one is to spend time with God in prayer, of course. And then we're talking about what, you know, keeps us from praying. But like you said, living in a way that pleases God, we have to obey God. We have to separate ourselves from any kind of ungodliness or ungodly people. And one of the things is to not dwell on what we're not. You know, that is a big distraction for us, where we're constantly worried about all the things we're not, or the ways that we're failing, or the way, you know, the lack that we feel like we have. And that's, we're not to do that. We're to dwell on what God says we can be, what God says we are. And that's, when we get that really solid in our head, it really takes up a lot of the distraction. A lot of the distraction we have is always worrying about, are we good enough? Are we enough? Have we done enough? Or, you know, are we capable enough? All of these things. And then, you know, things like being forgiving, any unforgiveness in us is a tremendous distraction. It keeps us constantly, there's a separation that happens between us and God. And it's on our side, not his.
And it's like nursing an infection versus nurturing a powerful prayer life, isn't it?
Yeah, right, exactly. It is. And this thing is, this infection just keeps growing in you, you know, until we get rid of it. We just, you know, I always say to people that forgiving someone doesn't make them right. It just makes you free. And we have to get free from these things, because these are major distractions.
Yeah. I often tell women at conferences, you know, we will hold on to things like, she spoke about me, she stabbed me in the back, she looked at me funny, and we hold on to that when we could be praying against human trafficking. Not to dismiss what they did and how it hurt you, but we do have bigger fish to fry, and so we've got to be less offendable and more a force to reckon with. And I think we can be, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We can be completely free of unforgiveness. And when you get free, it's such a relief. Oh, it's such a relief, because then you're not tied to that person that you're not forgiving.
Yes,
you know, we're
exactly.
always tied to them as long as we're not forgiving them. Hmm.
Talking to Stormy O'Martin today about what it means to be a prayer warrior. And we're walking through a little bit of a list right now of just about how to condition your life so that you can stand in battle, stand in prayer. And there is a battle overhead, and we've been given the weapons of our warfare as listed in Ephesians 6. And so how do you stand? That's what we're talking about today. Maybe you've got a question. We've got a little bit of time left to take a few more calls. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, feel free to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We've got Bob calling in from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Bob, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just have a question about listening in prayer. I mean, maybe oftentimes I think prayer is us speaking, but how important is listening and that part of a prayer life?
Excellent.
Well, I think it's equally important as asking. And, you know, God wants us to ask. He wants us to bring the things that are on our heart to him. And he wants us to, you know, he cares about every detail of our life, you know. But I think equally as important is that he wants us to have hear him speaking to our hearts. And we can ask him to say, Lord, help me to hear you. God, speak to me at my heart about this situation. Tell me what I need to know, and show me what I need to see, and guide me in what I should do. And really having that humble heart before God, asking him to speak to you, he will. He'll impress upon your heart the more time you spend with him. And when you read his word, he'll speak to you in his word as well as you're reading it. And when you have that humble heart that's open to hearing.
Mm, great question. Thank you so much for calling. 877-933-2484. One of the points you make about how to be in top condition spiritually is not to be careless with your body. Say what you mean there.
Yes, when we realize and really understand fully that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons I wrote "Lead Me, Holy Spirit" is because a lot of people don't realize that. They think, well, they have to have a special outpouring, or they have to have a special gift, or they, you know, if they don't have the gift of prophecy or whatever, then they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that is not true, because I think it's Romans 8:9 that says that if you do not have the Spirit in you, you're not his. And that doesn't mean that if everyone has to have that gift manifesting in order to have the Holy Spirit. It means that you've received Jesus, and Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to those who receive him. And so you have to understand that you have his Spirit in you, and your body is his temple. That's where he lives. And so to take care of your body, to take care of your health, that's a great thing. That's one of the ways you serve God, really, is to do that, to care about your body, to find out what's good for it and what isn't, and to act accordingly. It's really important. And ask God to help you with that, too, saying, God, I want to honor you with my body because it's a temple of your Spirit. And show me how, in any way I neglect it, show me how to treat it that I'm not doing, show me how to eat, what things to do. You know, I mean, ask the Lord to lead you in the care of your body. It's really an important thing.
Okay, here's another one. Get rid of anything in your life that's not glorifying to God. And you'll often hear about this where someone's passionately praying in one area, but completely living in willful sin in another. And that's not uncommon among Christians in our culture today. So say a word about that.
Yeah, exactly. And and that's another area where you have to ask the Lord. Say, I mean, if you know that you've got sin in your life or something in your life or something in your house that is really not glorifying to God, that he would not be pleased to, to know that you have that. And that when you've got that. And you know need to get rid of it. But there's sometimes we have things we're not even aware of. You know what? For example, I had two different examples. I had a couple books after I received the Lord. I stopped practicing any occult practices or anything like that. But I just didn't even think about books I had, because I have tons of books always. I've always had tons of books, and I just didn't even think about the books that were in there in my house. You know, and one day praying, God. I asked God to show me if there's anything in my house, because it said in the Old Testament that it do not allow a detestable thing to be in your house, it says. And so I came across that scripture, and I said, God, is there something detestable in our house? And I'm telling you, God showed me like a picture of those books. And I couldn't believe that I'd stopped practicing those practices that are not of the Lord, and yet I still had books on them. I mean, things that I didn't even realize. And another example is one of my children, he was like 10, had a video game that he borrowed from a friend that came in. It just seemed fine. It didn't seem like anything big deal. I was praying about, he was having nightmares, and so I prayed and said, God, is there something in Christopher's room, or is there something he's brought in or something that's in there that is causing that would be part of what these nightmares are about. So I went in there, and the God just led me right over to that video thing, opened up the box, and it seemed fine in the beginning. By the time I got to the end of it, looking in the pages, it was the worst occult stuff you can imagine. I couldn't even believe that we had that in the house. And I would have never allowed that, if I had known. And that's so when I called the parent of the child who lent that video, I explained to what was in the back of it and how horrible it was, and they seemed like, oh, that's fine. And they didn't realize it. It didn't affect them at all. That's all fine. Okay, that's fine. Thank you for letting me know. It was not a big deal. And so we have to ask God to help us become aware of those kinds of things, where we can separate from anything that's ungodly.
And isn't it just so important? Because as we're in this process and we lean in and we engage with God, we listen and he invites us. We can have as much of him as we hunger and thirst for. But the thing is, when he starts to talk to us, you start to see people go, well, it was a divine download for me, but I'm going to make it a law for you. Since he's talking to me about this, you need to do this too. And that's where we become Pharisaical, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And you're supposed to be led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because
we're all in different places on the continuum of the walk. So talk about what that means to have this fully engaged walk with the Lord, but be humble and gracious with others in their process.
Oh, that's so important, because you have to, first of all, you have to, he loves us. And we have to receive his love. We have to open up to his love and receive it, or otherwise we don't understand it. And when we receive it, then we have to show our love to him as well, in our worship, in our service to him, in our prayers, in our reading of the word. These are all ways in our obedience to him, our humility before him, or refusing to act like the devil and be arrogant and prideful, We just humble ourselves, But what happens when we do that is God gives us a heart of love for other people that we didn't have before. I mean, we love people who are close to us, but he gives us a love for people that we might not even think to love, And we need to act on that. We need to show kindness and show love and show just be able to extend God's love to other people. And that's such an important part of our lives.
Indeed. I want to cover two more points, and a few calls came in with questions that I'm going to throw your way, too, if we can get those in. But another point you said to be in spiritual top condition is to renew your mind. Say a word about that.
Oh, that's so important. The enemy comes to destroy our mind. That's one of the things, one of the places, in one of the chapters in this book, the Prayer Warrior book, I talk about, the areas where the enemy will take the battle to us if we're not, if we're not praying. He will bring the battle to us in our marriages, in our health, in our children, or whatever, And that's so important. And one of the things he does is his lies to our minds. And when that happens, we have to be able to recognize what's happening, first of all, that our mind can be a battlefield, And then that's one of the enemy's favorite areas to attack us. And there's a major war zone, And our mind is where we express our own will. It's the way we make decisions. It's where we make our choices, And if the enemy feels that if he can get us to believe lies, lies about who God is, lies about his word, lies about who we are in the Lord, lies about what God is wanting to do in our life, anything, then he really has an advantage, and he wins a lot of battles that way, And so we just have to recognize that there's a battle going on in our, that the enemy wants to get us to believe lies, and if we really have to cling to the truth.
Okay, and here's a really important one, too. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it, is to watch what you say. I mean, Scripture says we will eat the fruit of our lips, and it does matter what we say. Say more about that.
Yes. Oh, it does matter. Our words have power, and they have life. And on all of this, I don't want anyone to be legalistic, and sitting in judgment on what other people are saying, because I know it can... Everything can get out of hand if it's not led by the Spirit, But watching what you say, again, knowing that your words have power, is really an important thing for your life, And along with being renewed in your mind, you don't want to compromise your walk with God, and not monitor what you speak. So just asking the Holy Spirit, saying, God, just put a monitor over my words. I know that there's a connection between what I say, and answered prayer. If I speak good words as opposed to evil words, that you will hear our prayers. And when my words reflect your truth, that they're powerful. And so just asking the Holy Spirit to renew our heart, because our words are formed in the heart first.
Yeah.
Out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. And so just saying, God, be Lord over my heart. Don't let me say things I'm going to regret or say things that are going to hurt people. Just show me every day and help me to speak words that glorify you and bring life.
That's so good. One thing I did as a young mom was what Lord just confronted me on is he was speaking to my heart saying, your own words bear witness against my promises for you. So
that's
I would speak
so
out of my fear.
Yes.
We'll never get out of this. This will never get better. And he so confronted me and needed to, because the Scripture says faith comes from hearing. And when I started to say, okay, that does feel true, but truer still is my God will supply my needs. Honestly, something quickened in me when I started to stand on his Scripture versus just spew my feelings,
Yes, absolutely. That's powerful. Absolutely powerful.
Okay, so one last question before we pray. A caller asked, what's the best way to keep a prayer journal? What do you say?
Oh, gosh, I think a prayer journal is wonderful. Just having, with your Bible, have any kind of pad of paper, can be a real journal, you know, where it's all set up as a journal, or just a pad of paper. I do it just on a pad of paper. I've been through a million journals, and they always end up in my books, you know. And but I now I'm just taking to being with a pad of paper and my Bible, and as I, you know, I always read the Word first just to get my mind set right, and then as I pray to the Lord, I write down things I want to make sure I mention, you know, pray about. I write down things God speaks to my heart about taking care of or praying about or whatever. Just you know, don't sit in judgment on what you're writing. Just, you know, speak from, write down from what your heart is speaking to you, what God's speaking to you as you're praying. And just things that, you know, things that He puts on your heart, just write down everything. It doesn't have to be in perfect form. Just, you know, get it down on paper. It's really powerful.
Yeah. My rule is there's no rules, and that's what allows me to journal
all these exactly
years,
it.
You know? It really is to serve you.
Yep.
Well, Stormy, as usual, this has been just a treasure time. I appreciate your heart so much. And
oh, thank you.
As we wrap up, I'm wondering if you would pray for that person whom God is calling up, saying, I want you to engage with me on a deeper level in your prayer life. Would you pray for that person?
Yes, Lord, I pray for all the precious prayer warriors who are listening right now, God, and you know who they are, and they know who they are because they have a heart of compassion, a heart that cares about themselves, their family, their lives, their friends, and about other people and other situations, Lord. Help them to stand against the wiles of the devil every day, Lord God. Show them how to gird up the core of their being with your truth, Lord God, so that they don't fall into deception of any kind, Lord God. Show them, Lord, how to glorify you in their prayers, how to glorify you in their lives, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that they can have peace beyond all comprehension because of what you accomplished on the cross for them, Lord. Help them to stand secure with their feet protected by the good news that you have already prepared and secured for them, Lord God, a life of purpose and peace and love. I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will encourage them to pray and teach them to pray,
yes,
in power. And the same for Susie and me too. Lord, teach us to pray. Keep growing us in that area. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Stormy O'Mardian, thank you for your time today.
Yes, you're welcome. Anytime, Susie. Mm. Thank you.
God bless you, dear sister.
Thank you. You too.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Share this with a friend. And while you're at our site, tell us what your prayer is for 2014. We want to pray for you. We want to know what's going on in your life. Everyday Relationships is next. And we actually happen to be talking about prayer as well, praying God's word for yourself. So don't go away. Guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.